And this is the third lecture of the day, March 25th, 1954. Our general level of auditing here has been operating from a secure process. You've had a lot of material which are faster, better, plainer, more simple process, but you're operating from a security. The most basic security you can operate from is self-analysis. You can run that on pretty clear, just as it is. Some things will happen with a case. It takes a long time, but it's still a security. Now, that little book does this kind of stuff. Let's take the next to the last list. Let's take the end of session list. Let's take if the preclear appears upset. Any of those lists in the back there, plus a few of its mock-ups. And we can quite routinely bring somebody's communication lag into a more rational period. Now, you know, I have to tell auditors this every once in a while, because I don't seem to be able to tell them enough. I can't tell you often enough that self-analysis is a security. Yeah, I don't seem to ever have really been able to inform anybody of this. This is mainly lack of experience on the part of auditors. They react much, much too easily to the state of the case. Guy comes in, he's all frantic, and the auditor is all frantic. He's got to have a fast process to fix up the case in a hurry because the guy's frantic. No. That's Q&A at work. The auditor's just running lots of Q&A. It could get so bad that the preclear shows up and seems to be running very calmly, so the auditor runs a slow process on him. That's not the kind of a process you'd run on a calm case. You run a real fast process on him. Zing, zing. Real heavy, real fast, real zippy. Yet the person looks pretty easy going and pretty calm and so forth. You wind him up into a fireball right away. Now, this is the mystery behind why people have a little bit of trouble auditing somebody from a certainty of exteriorization up to theta clear. I see somebody sitting there calm, not moving fast, not nervous, not jumping around, nothing very desperate. And they go ahead and use Zephyr sunshine processes. Zephyr. This case needs fast auditing. Rapid auditing. He needs all kinds of things done. Needs a grand tour. Gave you many examples of that early in this course, by the way. Needs a grand tour. Needs exteriorization, interiorization. I also gave you many examples of it many weeks ago. He needs a tremendous lot of change of space. He certainly needs all of his auditing peeled off. And then he should have any kind of beingness and universe processes you now know about run on him. I don't care how calm he looks, how good his case level is. See? You just throw him the book, throw it at him fast, give him the toughest ones, and keep it rolling. Well, now there's such a thing as finding a case in apathy with a slow communication lag, and so forth, and giving them an apathetic process. That won't do any good either. I mean, you talk in apathy and give apathetic processes to an apathy case and so forth, and he'll just be apathetic. What are we heading toward? We're heading to an increase in speed, increase in communication lag up to, and we hope, including instantaneousness. We're trying to get up the speed. So you just keep the guy rolling, always a little bit faster. And if he suddenly slows down on you, he must have hit something head on. You better find out what he hit, where he hit it. Speed him up again. You get somebody who has a very good communication lag, he's doing all right, and all of a sudden he's got a 15-second communication lag. He's walking around with a 15-second communication lag. You certainly better find out what happened to him. Something happened to him to slow him down. Quite ordinarily, this is what happened to him. Somebody noticed that his communication lag was increasing and decided it was the wrong process to run on him. Now, you take almost any process will change the communication speed of a preclear. Now, what you want is a change. Faster or slower, you want a change. It's the change that you're looking at. And if you continually change his communication speed, boy, you're auditing him on up the line at an awful rate. But if you just get the same communication lag, you're not doing anything for him at all. And if you're getting same communication output, that's another measuring lag, same outflow from him, same outflow. This fellow's never had anything to say to you in sessions. He merely agrees with what you said. He doesn't do anything. All of a sudden, he starts talking like a magpie. You've got a communication change. That's a cinch. And this person has been talking like a magpie so that you could get in an auditing command maybe every 15 minutes. I've audited cases that were as bad as that, an auditing command every 15 minutes. People are passing for completely sane people. They're there to be audited. And yet you just might as well be faced up to a fire hose. What they're saying has no bearing, really, on the case. They're just chattering. It's a compulsive outflow. People who pass for very sane people very often do this. This is a tough case to audit. You try to get in there enough to give them a command so that something will happen. This is beautiful. Opening procedure will work against this. They can go on chattering all you want to, but if they know they're supposed to be moving the body around, they will wait for the next command. So we get this compulsive communication. Really nothing to do with the case. They just go on and on. You had this going on for quite a while, and gradually the person begins to slow up, and finally they're just doing a response. Just doing a response. Now you'll find them outflowing again, and then they just doing response. And then they clam up and don't say a word. You just ran past the barrier. They're not even giving you a response to auditing commands. They're just sitting there. Well, unless you created this by beating them down or getting angry with them, so forth, you're just doing routine auditing, and this type of communication change takes place, you, of course, are getting somewhere with the case. And with one of these compulsive outflow cases, if you don't eventually hit just a stop on communication, you never went through the wall. It's like aviation trying to go faster than sound and never going through the sound barrier. You just stayed this side of the wall all the time. Because they're on an invert, and they're going to come up through the deep spot of whatever they're stuck in before they come out into the clear blue sky. And that deep spot is going to be an utter communication apathy. See that? So you're going to get communication change, outflow, inflow changes, but mainly speed, speed of response, so on. This is one thing they can't fool you with. They might try to fool you two or three times. This is even better as far as fooling somebody is concerned. This is even better than knee meter. Because they think they can fool knee meter. By the way, this is a note in passing. The way you keep people from fooling you with an e-meter is make them run exercises of squeezing the cans. Make them squeeze the cans convulsively for 15, 20 times before you read the e-meter and all. They'll just run out the impulse to squeeze the can, squeeze the electrode. You just make them convulsively squeeze the electrode for a while, and you get a much quieter, even more reliable needle. Well, in such a wise, if you let a preclear flood communication at you, for a short time, they're liable to slow down after a while. And if you just let them flood the communication at you and then get in a few deft strokes that don't block the communication, why, they're liable to quiet down and audit very easily. But if you start blocking their inflow, you simply knock them into that apathy barrier prematurely on your determinism, not theirs. You want that communication lag to change on their determinism. With your assistance, with a few deft punches, you know where you're going. Don't bother to tell them. Well, when you're auditing somebody, and this person has been exteriorized, and this person all of a sudden develops a long communication lag, Well, you better start wondering what the devil's going on here. Well, it may be that what you're running is actually punching them through a wall somewhere. Well, their communication lag slowed down. The course of a minute or two has gotten very long, and then the course of the next 2 or 3 minutes speeds back up again. You've just gone through one of these, you might say, a lag barrier, a communication barrier of some sort. You've walked through some kind of a beingness. Right at the deep spot, if you ask them what they could be with ease, they would give you some kind of solid object right away, bing. But let's say that you've been auditing somebody who's been exteriorized with some certainty, and you audit this person with a 10, 15-second communication lag for a half an hour. Mm-hmm. You're not hitting in close. Something wrong. This communication lag isn't speeding up, and yet this person did have a better lag earlier. And half an hour, and no speed up. No real slowdown, no speed up. No change, in other words. Well, their case is changing, their communication level's changing. If their case isn't changing, their communication level is remaining the same. If their case is getting worse, their communication level is gradually, persistently lengthening over a considerable period of time. That is, say, in an hour's processing, their case is getting worse. Well, it's just getting longer and longer communication lag because it didn't ever take, with the processes we're using, any hour to get through any of these barriers. It takes a minute, 2 minutes. Now, 2 minutes is a long time, by the way, as it's used colloquially. You don't believe it sometime, look at a stopwatch go around twice. You'll say, how do I get... 15-second communication lag doesn't sound like much till you try to talk over something with somebody with a 15-second communication lag. Real grim. In all the gag demonstrations of lags up here, I've never gagged one as long as 15 seconds. I've gagged one usually when I'd see you getting nervous as gagging one at about 5 seconds, 6 seconds. That's a long time. All right. Our communication factor, then, is the one that we keep bird-dogged on. We just bird-dog that like mad. Now, if we're getting satisfactory communication shifts, perception shifts, the pre-clear keeps turning, gee, everything all brightened up all of a sudden. My, everything got black. Oh, and it's all bright again. Black. You know, these remarks spaced out over 10 or 15 minutes of auditing, that many remarks on their perceptions. Why, we're shifting this case all over the spot. We're pushing them right on up the grade. As nice as you please. But if a case isn't volunteering this kind of information, isn't observably changing, isn't observably doing the processes you're trying to get them to do faster and more easily, the difficulty in the case is technique too doggone heavy for the case. The case isn't what it seems, what it seems, what it seems. Now, there are a lot of real fast ways you could bail this case out and straighten it up, yes. But there's always a security. It's very nice to operate from a security. Your self-analysis, as writ, will do something for this case. It'll do this for this case. It'll stop the case from thinking insanely or neurotically and hectically. Now, here's a test, a little test run of this. Probably been many a day since you ever cracked any self-analysis on somebody, because you're a professional. I'm doing a lot of auditing on people. Great funny part of it is, there was many a time when you were trying to do something for a case when you would have been much better off simply reached over for a copy of self-analysis. Your case, 15 minutes later, would have felt in wonderful condition, would have gone home feeling good. That's because self-analysis is non-sequitur. One of the first things it does is break down the sequence of a thought chain which a person is obsessively pursuing. It's so non-sequitur. Now, if you were to take the same process and make the story of Little Red Riding Hood, you know, let's mark up Little Red Riding Hood coming through the woods. All right, now let's mark up the Big Bad Wolf. Now let's mark up Grandma. Now let's mark up the woodsman. This case would go, getting worse. Sequitur, because you're insisting upon logic. Well, the fact that it is non-sequitur itself, but markedly assists differentiation. The next thing is, what's ailing your preclair? We know about facsimiles. We know about image pictures of experience, which get into restimulation. And because they have somatics in them, because they have perceptions in them, devil a preclair and push him around and so forth. We know of this mechanism of facsimile. Well, something makes them. And they're being made all the time in present time by some kind of a machine. Self-analysis takes over the mechanism of making facsimiles. So don't look down on that little process, because it runs the handiest, jim-dandiest, louser-upper machine that a fellow could get. Now, supposing the individual can't get any mock-ups at all. He just gets some vague idea. That's about all he gets. You know that self-analysis is feeding him havingness one way or another. One way or the other. It's beefing up the bank. That. Now, just take space. It creates space. Having a mock-up out there is an assistance in creating space. You're doing a tremendous number of things simultaneously. Yes, it's just got an awful lot of side effects, one right after the other. And yet, apparently, all you're doing is reading this nice, quiet little list. For instance, the formula of it is start, stop, and change. So it hits directly at control. Directly hits at control. The individual has things out of control, otherwise he wouldn't be worried. Start, stop, and change is control. That's its formula. All right. We take that. We read a dozen mock-ups out of it to the preclair. Just like that. They're non-sequitur. Because you're working with the preclair, you're liable to give him sequitur mock-ups on his case. And certainly we've got to break some kind of an obsessive thought chain here. We've got to break this down somehow. Well, the easiest way to do it is not because I writ up those mock-ups for you. The easiest way to do it is you're sitting there auditing the preacher. You know his problems. You've gotten to thinking about his problems. You're liable to give him a whole flock of mock-ups in creative processing. They'll help him a lot. But his case may be, at this period, too far south to use creative processing on. He may be too bad off to use creative processing on. What you want to do is break up an obsessive thought chain and get him into some kind of condition so that that machine that's making the facsimile that's butchering him is more under control than before. And there's a list, which is just an arbitrary list, which you don't have to be different than the preclear in order to think up one. You don't have to think about that. You don't have to make sure it isn't something the preclear stuck in. You don't have to think about that at all. You can relax, too. You just read the half a dozen lockups off the preclear. Well, I've run test after test on cases that ran like this. You know, I've been auditing this preclear for an awful long time, and this preclear is just all upset all the time and so forth, and I just don't seem to be able to get any place on the case, and I've just got to do something. I've just got to do something because this preclear is just frantic all the time. You know, here we go. I say, well, send the preclear over. Okay. Sit the preclear down. Open up the back of the book at random. All right, now let's create a scene in which you're making something. Now let's create a scene where you bested somebody. And now a scene where you bought a hat. Case starts getting calm. Turn over the next to last list, something really real. Go back, a few more mock-ups. Been working with this case only 20 minutes, and the case isn't frantic anymore. Close up the book, lay it up on the shelf, shake them by their hand, send them back to their auditor. What process did you use? The auditor never believes me. Never. You know, there's a certain skill in using it. It's the skill of being able to say distinctly exactly what you mean, be calm about it. And if you're really a professional and you're using this process, you be calm about it, and all of a sudden you say, create a scene in which you're driving something.
All of a sudden he said, I do, but it keeps flying off to the corner of the room. Well, okay. Yeah, he says, but it just flies off to the corner of the room. It's very bad. You say, okay.
Now, let's see. The skill is to restrain yourself. Because, listen, if this case is in bad shape and you try to duplicate that action several times, why, you've plowed the case into some kind of a charge. I know one case that I think to this day, can't mock up an airplane. And yet every time we even came vaguely in the vicinity of a vehicle would go out of control. Never handled it. But I was running another case that couldn't handle a mock-up of a vehicle. Same time, I was running a bunch of pilotos, pilots. And they were all shot up and bunged up, you know, standard government release type pilot. And these boys get a mock-up of a machine, and the machine would go out of control. Well, I took this boy, and I tried, by creative processing, to put a machine under control. You know, I never succeeded, and during all the time I was working, trying to make him do that, he was just going down, 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 down. He was actually crashing. I couldn't seem to handle anything with him. He was too far gone. He was neurotic. He'd been wrecked about 5 times. He'd been through 2 wars, including the Korean. And this was too much. And all of his force vectors and so forth were too scrambled on the thing. He couldn't handle a mock-up. Now, by creative processing, by automaticity, on a case that wasn't bad off, of course you would handle this as an automaticity. You would bring it under immediate control, get a mock-up of a machine that was under control. You'd do it by gradient scales. You could do a lot of things like this, see? But we're talking about a case that's frantic now. A lot of things. You just walk into this case as frantic. You get them to do a few mock-ups or remember a few things that are real. It's very interesting. They stabilize. One neurotic girl, she was passing for a responsible citizen, a college student, really was so frantic she couldn't sit still long enough to be audited. Just frantic, you know. Had to sit in study hall too long or something of the sort too long. I ran some self-analysis on this kid, and 15 hours of very good auditing did not do as much for this case as 25 minutes of self-analysis, quietly and efficiently administered. Now, that's interesting, but it breaks up their obsessive patterns. I know you think I'm talking too long about this, and you know all about this, but the fact of the case is, it's been a long time since you thought of picking up a copy of self-analysis to remedy some preclear that was too frantic to be audited. You're dealing from a security. Now, supposing you get your preclear and re-stimulation, he's got migraine headaches or something of the sort, and by golly, these get worse. You just grab a whole copy of self-analysis and you'll bring him out. He can hold his own in the messed universe by running it. That's all it'll do for you. It'll just permit a guy to hold his own. See? Now, that's a valuable thing. And you happen to be operating from another security. And this security is SOPHC. It is easy to administer. It contains most of the factors that you're using. It doesn't contain beingness or universes, really. But it contains these sort of obliquely and on an understood basis and will clip at them rather heavily. If you were to sit down and run on a pre-clear opening procedure of SOPHC and then step one and then step two and then step three, and they weren't exteriorized, do step one. Step two, step three, and they weren't exteriorized, do step one, step two, step three, and they're still not exteriorized. In this case, you'd say it was real bad. You could still then, without any further thought, go on to 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And then go back to step one, and they'd probably exteriorize. This is a way to pick your way through. Now, SOPHC was developed along with the experience of over a year of actually watching 8 in operation here and there. I watched 8 in operation, finally modified it. But I only modified it after 2 units had gone through the advanced clinical course, watching them use it. And boy, It's not as rapid as a very nice, choosy case of auditing might possibly be. But believe me, it is more rapid, much more rapid than anything we have ever had. And it is right now producing rather interesting and effective results for practically every auditor in those early units who are using it. And they're using it in those early units. Now, I've come along since that time and compounded and put together inside of AIDC a lot of other considerations. Now, one of the main things that I put in there has been old man universes, beingness and universes. Now, the granting of beingness made it relatively unnecessary for an individual to run the past. I mean, the second we had the concept of granting of beingness, I got that. It was not necessary to run the past. All psychotherapies have been running the past, running the past, running the past. You can work a lot with granting of beingness very cleverly and never touch the past at all. An individual is obviously granting beingness to the past consistently, and so he makes it alive. How does he grant beingness? He hands out space and energy to things, doesn't he? So he hands out space and energy to the past, and so it comes alive, and so devils him. This is how the past comes to life. But unfortunately, there's an awful lot of energy which is just right there, which has to do with past locations. Well, one theoretically could grant beingness then to things which were not associated in the past and so arrive at a goal without taking the past apart. That's a theoretical course. You could simply audit the future straight on down the line and get there. Holding two back corners of the room is also a security. That puts a person in contact with present time and puts him in contact with the physical universe, and it's been a long time since he was there. It might take an awful lot of time to run this out to clear on every case you ran across. But by golly, case fours and a lot of fives have simply banged out of their heads, simply holding out of the two back corners of the room. I know one auditor who gives very satisfactory sessions. And everybody's very pleased with this auditor's sessions. This person deals with some society people. And they're just all pleased. And you know what this auditor's doing. This auditor reads some self-analysis to them to keep up their interest in life. And then has them sit and hold the two back corners of the room. And they'll sit there at $25 an hour and hold the two back corners of the room. Interesting, isn't it? They bang out of their heads and they all kinds of things that they just know we're wrong with them, suddenly become unwrong and that sort of thing. Well, they're getting into a universe they haven't been in for a long time, which is the physical universe. Well, the physical universe is still one universe wrong for the Thetan, but by golly, it's about eight more universes right than most of the cases you're going to run into. Now, that's a very distinct consideration. So we get into this six steps to better beingness. You'll recognize now in six steps to better beingness, and looking at 8C, looking at the various factors in 8C, you'll see that the six steps are an introvert-extrovert method of handling the preclear's attention. And you can do a lot with six steps to better beingness. It'll carry a case along a certain way, and it won't carry a case above a certain level. A case can probably run on six steps to better beingness for many weeks, rather consistently every day, many weeks. And then they'll hit a level. They don't go above that level. Well, what have they run into? They've run into, very squarely, a conflict of universes, one way or the other, in terms of the physical universe. What they've done, to a large degree, is run themselves out into the physical universe. And so they're hung up one universe wrong, which is still better than eight universes wrong. All right. Now, therefore, six steps to better beingness comes up to that level and hangs fire. It comes out to the messed universe, of course. And it won't go above that level. That's quite a ways. That's further than the first book took anybody. But you can go further than that. Now, what I've been teaching you more recently is I feel that I would be circuiting some of the purposes of this advanced clinical course, if I failed to give you the available information while you were here. I may have bogged you a little bit here and there, or I made you a little bit worried or uncertain.
by demonstrating to you and getting you to use
some very advanced material and then showing you how you could use it better once you'd got used to using it.
Remember that you didn't need this material at all. You didn't need it at all. You haven't needed anything since 8C. You can do more miracles with 8C than anybody did in the Middle East. I mean good factual miracles, not stuff rewritten several times. You can get a nice invariable result. All you got to do is get the pre-clear to hold still long enough for you to get him moving on your course of action with opening procedure, and you got it. You'll go along on that. So as far as just practice is concerned, just practice here and there on people, you could get along on 8C. Now, you can produce results with 8C. It is easy to use. Here's another question. How do you produce a faster result on the worst cases? Well, now, we're trying to push you up toward 100%. I suppose 8C, in expert hands, knowing about machines and knowing about other things, 8C in very expert hands and so forth, possibly can produce that. Very expert hands possibly can produce the 100%. But I've looked at the expertness of the hands and found out that we were still falling short 5 or 10% with most auditors with 8C. Well, therefore, it was a question of universes, so we had to go into a better process. I've had that under surveillance here for some little time, and I've sprung it on you. Beingness and universes. Once you wrap your head around this, human behavior becomes rather interesting. It becomes the behavior and interaction of universes. Any man is a god of his own universe, according to every other man. He may not think so himself, but everybody else thinks he is. Now, he may be holding down an enormous conflict of universes. Lots of them. Nevertheless, Mama is the big voice in Mama's universe. In other words, when in somebody else's universe, the owner's postulates count. Now, that is a crudely stated law back of universe process. And it's why postulates are booby-trapped as a process. Postulate processing is booby-trapped. It's booby-trapped by universes. You see, you're in Mama's universe, and it's Mama's postulate that counts. Well, you can get out of Mama's universe. You don't have to make it so that none of Mama's postulates count. So there'd be two ways to go about it. One would be to simply fix it up so none of Mama's postulates counted. And while remaining in Mama's universe. Well, that's a hard job in view of this other law, because it's Mama's postulates that count in Mama's universe. The easiest way to do it would just be to back the pre-clear out of Mama's universe. Second, he's out of Mama's universe. Mama's postulates don't count. It's the only process I know which escapes the necessities of havingness. Universe processing exceeds this problem of havingness. Beingness doesn't quite. But universe processing does escape the remedy of havingness. You have to have because others have to have, and you're in their universe. See that? Now, the way you run this process is by various means, by beingness processing and so forth. You can, with great ease, detect what universes in this lifetime your pre-clear is enlodged in that aren't his. Well, let's look at the obvious one he's in that isn't his. Now, he can say it's his. He can declare by postulate that it's his. He can do all sorts of things about it being his. But the fact remains that the physical universe, observedly, isn't his. He didn't make it. He made a universe which approximated it, but he didn't make it. He might have had a share in making it, but he didn't make it. So he's in one universe wrong from his own universe, right? If he's in the physical universe. Well, hold your hats on a type of process like this, but get places where the physical universe would be saved. I'm not asking you to do that right now.
But
just ask a pre-clear to get places where he's the best universe, the physical universe, would be safe. And on some pre-clears, you're going to be producing some awfully volcanic activities. They get sick, they get woozy, they get disoriented, and so on. Well, if you were to ask somebody this who was in the physical universe and then in about 15 other universes, too, and you were to ask them to get out of the physical universe, which is to say find places where it's safe, of course, you've just picked up this chain of agreement at the wrong point, and he will struggle and fume. He yet doesn't have the ability as a Thetan to clearly observe the physical universe. You've got him sitting in a body and being evaluated for about the physical universe by a body. Well, this is catastrophe. You picked it up the wrong point, in other words. I don't say that you couldn't run it and get away with it on people, but I know it's been tested. And the test on it was very clear. You better get him out of the universes he was haunting in this lifetime, in addition to the physical universe, and get him cleared up on that before you try to snap him out of the physical universe. In other words, turn his perception of the physical universe before you try to clear it out of his bank. At least let him know as a thing what you try to clear him out of. That's a strange thing. A lot of pre-clears that you're running are being so thoroughly evaluated for by their eyes and ears and feet and hands, so oriented by the body itself, that it's just as though their mother was standing there telling them what to think and what to say and what to hear and who to go with and where to be and so forth. Why would you like to run a pre-clear that was living 24 hours a day with his mother right alongside of him, saying to him all the time, now, this is what you eat, Johnny, and this is what you where you sleep, and this is what you now need, and that's what you're looking at, and that's where you are. How would you like to audit a pre-clear that had been under that kind of a bombardment for some time? That'd be an interesting pre-clear, wouldn't it? Well, it's possible. It's not as tough a problem to audit a Thetan who's been evaluated for by the body like that, but it's the same kind of problem. Body sitting there saying, this is what you're looking at, this is where you are, this is what you've got to do, this is what you need, this is what you're now sensing. Body's doing this 24 hours a day, sleeping away. See that? And he's sitting there with the body doing it for him. Bang, 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 bang. So he's already thoroughly in the body's universe. And the body is more than thoroughly in the physical universe. It's engulfed. So, how do we take this problem apart? We'd certainly better take it apart in terms of last to first instead of first to last. Let's take the last universes he got mixed up with, and let's make sure they're real gone. And then run it on back. One of the first universes you would pick up on some auditor would be the Scientology universe. That's a heck of a thing, I have to say, but the truth of the matter is that the road out was entered by this universe called Scientology. See that? I mean, that was the road out. But we take up the last universe first. It's all right for a pre-clear. He's not in that universe. See? But an auditor who's been studying it and is running it for a while is to some degree in that universe, and he doesn't feel entirely free in that universe. I snarl at people for doing things wrong and this way and that way, so he isn't entirely free. The effort of people who suddenly take Scientology and call it hexaphonics or something is just an effort to escape the Scientology universe by forming another universe, which they then pretend is not the Scientology or Dianetics universe. Totally unsuccessful effort. All they had to do is, let's find some places where Scientology would be safe. I really hate to tell you this, because if you get a process which runs out Scientology and runs out me and so forth, well, this is horrible, see? I mean, just as far as you're concerned, you see why I just lost all that mess. Lost all that havingness the moment I give you that process.
True nobility.
Yeah, must be. I'm either in apathy or I'm real high toned to do something like that. And obviously by my communication lag, I must be in apathy. Anyway, when we look over the problem then of under what universal anchor points has the pre-clear been existing We look it over as this problem. We immediately see why it's so real tough to edit the psychology out of a psychologist by a little auditing. See that? See, we get this fellow who spent 4 years in Harvard or something, and is studying psychology, and then we try to teach him Scientology. Why, gee whiz, he's already in one universe, and we're trying to reach him in there like with a little stick or something, kind of poke him and wake him up. So this becomes a tough job in the absence of a process that would itself remedy it. Now, let's find some places where psychology would be safe, where your psychology professor would be safe, where your textbooks would be safe, and so forth. Theoretically, would do the job of putting him back to battery so that you could reform him, so we get someplace. Because he's in a tough universe in psychology, and you don't have to run down psychology. It's like, I think it was Oliver Hazard Perry, wasn't it, said, "Don't cheer, boys, the poor devils are dying"? Who was that said that? Oh, he said, "Don't give up the ship." Anyway, that's beside the point. Here's a case of somebody who's gotten into a level of healing which dead ends. It dead ends. The reason he got into psychology in the first place is he had somebody around him who was having trouble with his mind, possibly, or he was worried about himself or something like this, and he decided he'd go study psychology. And then he studies it, and he expects any time now, when he gets into experimental, oxtripidental, or goofology, or some branch of it in his later courses, you know, psychology 815 and 816, that he's suddenly going to hear something that he can use. And, of course, they finally hand him his doctor of philosophy. You see, they haven't even got nerve enough to give him a doctor of psychology. They hand him his doctor of philosophy after about 6 years, and the fella walks out and says, "What fog?" He never ended his cycle. He's lived in that universe all that time with no end. This is a tough one, then. All right. There's guys that have been doctors in their past lives. Their fellows have been good practicing witch doctors in their past lives, but they still didn't get to first base. These are universes which the guy eventually comes out of, but they're more in his own universe than his present time. All right. When we have a snarled up mess of universes, then the rule of thumb would be to take the last one first. Just the rule of thumb could be exceeded. And try not to stray from the beaten path until you've got that one totally safe. You know, you've just found all the places you possibly could find that were safe, and it's eventually sprung. You know the phenomenon of it springing apart. You've got this set, then. And to markedly resist the impulse to go chasing back down the track. Markedly resist these impulses. Because I've been watching a case running on this that was permitted to go. I've watched about four now. They were permitted to just rack around and fall into this and fall into that and stumble elsewhere and fumble and stumble. And they're getting better, but they're getting into scrambles of universes which are worse to unscramble than otherwise. But still, you could go back to the beginning and start all over again with them. But you find out there was a lot of extra work done there that needn't have been done. You start to get rid of these fellows' universes. Well, let's get rid of his university education. Let's start in something like that. Get some place where the university would be safe. Some more. I know of two cases. One of the toughest cases we've ever audited down there in New Orleans, remember? That boy, if you ask him that question, gets a place where university is safe, it'd be right here, because he's stuck as a sophomore in that university. He's stuck right there. It was the first world he found he could belong in and so forth, and there he was. He's never left it. Holding on like mad. Well, let's discover something like this about the pre-clear, and one of the clues we would get on it would be in beingness processing. Now, why are we still talking about beingness processing? Well, darn it, it's awful hard to get anybody to run anything who isn't certain of anything. He has no real feeling of certainty about being something or having something somewhere. He hasn't any good feeling of certainty about life, and yet he can sit there and tell you that he is certain of that. But how does he know what certainty is, since he has no dichotomy of it? You fish around with beingness processing, all of a sudden he says, Yeah, I can be something. Well, what do you know? That feeling of certainty which suddenly overcomes him. He can't arrive at one point in the track. He doesn't have to rack all over the bank all the time. So you run a little beingness processing on the fellow. It picks up his level and recognition of what certainty is. There were people in this unit right here who didn't really know what certainty was until he suddenly hit something that they could be. And then they had a good certainty on it. By golly, now what do you know? There is some sensation like that. There is a feeling like that. See, that sort of thing takes place. Well, a case that would be very, very uncertain and fumbling as far as their bank was concerned. It wasn't improving. You weren't getting good communication lags on. If you turn around with being this processing, you find out you get a change in the case. You're going to move him in the bank. That's what you're going to do. You're going to move him into and beyond one of those stop points fairly rapidly. So, if a case was pretty well off and did know certainty and would get a communication change, you could just strip the universes off, just zing, 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 boom, 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 and never have to worry about beingness. But beingness itself is always something that you can do to improve the pre-clear's perception. His ability to be is the best ability he has. It's his basic postulate. Well, anyway, we just move this guy on off out of the universes. As long as the University of Pepsi-Cola is the universe in which he's living, he is still subject to the president of Pepsi-Cola University's postulates. The dean of men, the athletic coach. That's their universe. It isn't his universe. He knows this. And so he can run on just exactly the same line of stuff. You take some poor guy that has really haunted a universe. He's become a professor. You know, he knows he'll never be president. They use businessmen to be presidents of universities and guys that can make money and get in good contributions. Those are the presidents. He'll never be very much in terms of the university itself. He'll just keep fogging along one way or the other, and somehow or other may get up to be head of department someday. But he's living in a universe he knows isn't his. He's studying continually from books he didn't write. He's hammered this way all the time. So it's a strange universe, and he gets into a swell where am I condition. It's natural that science would proceed after universities had been the order of the day for about 500 years. You'd naturally get into a scientific period where everything had to be deduced only after you had seen the evidence of it. That's after the fact. All right. In stripping down the universes off of a pre-clear, you're dealing with, just as in beingness processing, something that requires a certain sensitivity on your part, a certain feel. Now, if you keep changing your mind about what universe he's in without ever cleaning up one, you'll get him tangled up. But let's say we just started in and made a big, blundering, stupid error right off the bat. We decided, in so many words, that he was in the universe of General Outboard Motors because he'd worked for the plant for a long time. And we decided that's the universe he was in. As a matter of fact, it never affected him one way or the other. But he's been kind of unhappy about it. That's not the universe he's stuck in. He's stuck in his wife's universe. But we just missed the boat and so on. And we discover after he's run... this sometime that nothing is happening and he's kind of unhappy about it and he doesn't seem to be progressing and something's gone off, we better be alert to something else. Do you know that he will only find real safe places for General Electric or General Outboard Motors or whatever you're running? He'll only find good safe places alongside of the ally whose universe should be run. He'll clip into this. Several of the places he will find for General Outboard Motors will be locations where that ally you should be running is, such as his wife. He'll find out that General Motors or something is safe in the backyard garden. It's safe in the kitchen. This he'll repeat several times. Safe alongside his wife. His wife is the indestructible dragon that we're gunning for. So you could pick your way through, but remember to stay late. And try not to go earlier past this lifetime until you've exteriorized him, and then go where you darn please. But as long as you've got him next to the body, and you try to exceed this lifetime with your auditing, and he's still in a body, well, you get into trouble. Well,
That requires judgment, then, doesn't it? So, it's rather a feeling that any time any technique requires judgment, it sooner or later will resolve into something that doesn't require judgment. I'll come up with some handy jim-dandy little thing that knocks that out of it. Well, that's probably true of this process. But not necessarily. Because we run into the factor that every individual is an individual. Everybody has a different time track than every other person. Everybody has. And it's like trying to run the track of an engram track. Everybody's in a different type of engram. Well, this is not as bad as that. It doesn't anywhere near require as much judgment as it requires to pick up the engrams out of a case and run those that are in restimulation. Much easier to run this. And so for that, although it does require judgment, I know it's a successful process. I know more than that it's a successful process. I have been using this now and watching this in use for some little time. And by golly, it is the horrible fact that it is the universes which are interlocked with the universes that really counts with the pre-clerk. The postulates he's subject to are the gods of the universes he's stuck in. And this accounts for the vagary of some cases just escaping all understanding. Strange behaviors, strange valence shifts are counted for by this universes. But I will tell you this. Some months ago when I first triggered into this one, I got sick. I was sick for about a half an hour on the realization of it. Because, you see, it had never really occurred to me before that life really was downward bound to a solid mass. That every life unit, even though an individual, simply became more and more individual and finally perished. And I never really knew that. I used to guess at it. It just seemed logical that on this reducing perimeter, the things would get smaller and smaller. Well, I realized this, and it was too tough, so I decided to disprove it. I decided to do a lot of looking, and I did a lot of looking before I started talking much about this process. That's why these processes consistently work, and why they get people someplace, is because they are looked over before they're wildcatted, released, and so forth. This horrible view presents itself. The Phaeton is, with his own universe, actually a fairly good size. He comes into the collision with the mesh universe one way or the other, and finally runs down a bit junior to the mesh universe. He comes into the collision with other universes. These things further entangle him, because each time he is subject to the orders of the god of that universe. And he gets down in size. He gets more compact. He has less periphery. You see that? He gets smaller and smaller. He begins to learn how to do things in the physical universe, at best. Learn how to do special little operations inside the body. So he becomes a cell. Or he becomes a collection of cells. From being a liver, he becomes a cell in a liver. From being a cell in a liver, he becomes something on the order of a virus. Being something on the order of a virus, he goes down into being something which is on the size of an atom, and then goes down to the level of an electron. This is quite interesting, but where are many of the lives of yesteryear? You see them strewn around you in the rocks, in the plants, and
in the various forms of existence which are. Now, this evidence seems to consistently confront one. There's a certain terror in it. The main terror of it, though, is to think of the men of yesteryear being only part of a body of this year. It seems to be such a distastefully vicious operation that one doesn't wonder that somebody invented the horn of Gabriel, which would let everybody free someday. Strange that that one gets bought so easily. Now, this dwindling spiral, of course, can go in spirals. One can break out, I suppose, with being an electron and go down a spiral again, but each one of these spirals seems to be smaller. The between lives area gives it a boost and pushes it along. But the ethics and the things which a Thetan basically wants to believe and so forth aren't here. So anybody who is talking religiously about you going to hell after you die is talking through his hat. You're in hell right now. And that is the operation of condensing on the basis of resistances. The master universe gets you to resist, and so you pull in more to resist, and so forth. We are breaking that downward spiral. It can be broken for the individual, and an individual, by regaining beingness, can break the chain on others. Now, this is all very much out of gear for me to say anything like this, because this is the introduction into the subject of a personal opinion. Now, oddly enough, you seldom hear me, particularly the last couple of years, introducing personal opinions so much, other than to joke about psychology and so forth. I don't give you personal opinions. This, to a large degree, is personal opinion, yet it is not without some evidence. The breaking down of the Thetan into lower and lower forms seems to be the progress. Now, that is vastly assisted, but it can only happen because the God of the universe is the person who makes the postulate stick in that universe. That's the only reason it can happen. Now, we look over breaking down universes, and we find out that an individual can be sprung back out of universes he has entered into. Well, he springs out of the meshed universe the same way. Now, there are many people who want to know how to escape the meshed universe. They'd love to escape the meshed universe. They hate the place. And so on. Well, this is your road out. Where would it be safe? You take parts of it and find out where they'd be safe, and then the whole thing and find out where it'd be safe, and the fellow would be sitting outside of it the next thing he knows. But only after you've peeled off those 18 or 20 universes that he's been into after the fact. It's a slightly complex problem, but this is departure from universes. Now, nothing was ever truer than the Dr. Tape statement that one should make his own universe. But when one's living eight universes removed from a universe he can make, it's pretty hard to construct in that limited field another universe. It's all very well to enter into auditing, but day by day, the attentions and attractions of one's fellows and the physical universe itself distract one from an escape, you might say. One shouldn't even think about it as an escape. I don't know, but what with these processes and what I've been telling you, particularly this week, we are not kissing the immense universe goodbye as a universe. I do not know, but what we may not have sounded the bell for the end of this thing called the physical universe. I don't know that. This is obviously the prime goal of science, the ending of the messed universe. Science concentrates continually upon trying to blow it up. But I don't know what we haven't done that. Just what will come out of these processes, on a broad view on all the dynamics, who can say? Who can say? But it certainly won't be insignificant in terms of impact, because any knowledge which escapes into the world of man is utilized one way or the other, and whether labeled or otherwise, seems to carry on. So,
My main effort during this week may have proven slightly overburdening to some of you, but I've piled on an awful lot of data and awful fast here the last few days. Don't be disheartened by it. You're still sitting on self-analysis. You're still sitting on 8C. You've got that for a good, sound foundation to stand on. Certainly, SOP-8C. Well, I've been pouring on the coal here, and I hope it hasn't set you completely adrift.